Shalom, Rabbi Kurt Lander here. Hey, listen, we have a super special podcast for you today. And what the Lord really put on our hearts is this. Probably over 20 years of pastoring people who have come out of all different denominations, and they come into the revelation, first of all, of the Jewish roots of the faith. And they go, man, why didn't anybody tell me this? What about this? What about that? And then the revelation of one new man, that actually Jew and Gentile can come together, one in Messiah, one in Christ, and then and all the blessings that bring, you would think everybody would be thrilled about that, you know? But as you come into it, you need to understand and extend grace to your family and friends that this isn't something, even though it's prophetically in the Bible, and Paul talks about it in Ephesians, he talks about it in Romans, but it's not that it's not biblical, it's just that anytime there's something different or outside the box, there's going to be some resistance. And so I've asked Christy and I've asked Pastor Tim and Sandy to be able to come and share basically from their heart. So this gives you an opportunity to sit down here at the, so to say, at the dinner table with us, and we're just going to share some of the things that happened to us as we started to enter in and unpacking the Jewish roots of the faith, unpacking one new man, celebrating the feast of the Lord, coming together to worship on Shabbat on Friday nights, all those things which you're starting to walk into. And I think you can glean from the experience over this last 20 years. So I want to welcome my wife for almost 50 years now, be coming up. And Pastor Tim and Sandy, and we've been together how long now? 25?
25 years.
25 years. It's an amazing thing. It's incredible. But let's start, because I know a lot of people are very new to us. Why don't you share like how you met us and what you transitioned, where you were fellowshipping and your background in your doctrine and the church that you were going to, and your family came out of that background, and then how you met us. And because people are always asking like, well, how did you come together? I mean, how does a First Nations person hook up with a believing Jewish family? And literally, I love the way Sid Roth said it. He says, I teach one new man, but he says, Pastor Tim and you are one new man. So welcome, Pastor Tim and Sandy, to the podcast. So share where you came from and how we met.
Okay. Well, we was basically just attending a regular, traditional, full gospel church. My parents were excellent Bible teachers. And basically from earliest memories has always been in church, but it's always been a traditional church background and setting. My parents loved Israel and helped me to develop, because of their teaching abilities, helped me to develop a kind of a relationship and a desire for things prophetic, eschatology, that type of study. I've always been just kind of enthused about history. And so I always had taught that, you know, you learn from history so that you don't have to repeat the same mistakes.
Absolutely.
And so that you can move forward. So my parents were, like I say, very strong Israel supporters. And Dad always told me to, you know, to watch what goes on in Israel, because that has a very deep impact on what you are going to experience as a Christian. And so that always kind of set the bill and the tone for it. The church that we attended years ago when I was just a teenager invited a man by the name of Zola Levitt come and to hold a Passover, and it was soon after Zola had just been converted.
Now, explain to people, because a lot of people don't know like who Zola Levitt was.
Well, Zola is a Jewish man who discovered Jesus, that he was the Messiah, and then he began a process of a transformation in his own life of how do you fit as a Jewish believer with the knowledge that Jesus is your Messiah. Where do you fit? Because he felt the resistance from the Jewish community, wasn't for sure how he was going to be accepted in the Christian community, but the church that we attended was very welcoming to him, and he felt comfortable there, and he held the Passover for us.
And what year was that?
That would have been in about 1974.
Wow.
And so... So
you and Sandy weren't married yet?
No.
So Sandy, what's your background? Were you a Christian before you met Tim? Or
I had gotten saved when I was in junior high, and then didn't really connect with the church. My family we weren't connected with the church. So anyway, then I met him, began to go to church with him. And
that was what, like a Pentecostal or?
Yeah, full gospel Pentecostal
gospel
church.
Pentecostal,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's when I found the Lord.
Wow.
So anyway, we was basically going through a traditional church life, I guess you would call it. You know, Sunday, Wednesday, we didn't miss a service. And but the thing was, is there was always a deep desire to go into the deeper things of the Lord. And Zola had left some books with us, or I'd bought some books from mm-hmm. from the stand. And one of the books that he had was about the seven feasts mm-hmm. of the Lord.
It's a great book.
And so, but it began to lay a doctrine, a foundation for what we have a lot of times celebrate in the church world, but not really having a full understanding of it. Those seven feasts are very important to us as believers to understand, so that you know kind of what you're signing up for and where this is all going to go.
Yeah.
And so it was unique that way. And then, like I say, as we journeyed through our church life, we ended up with having some family issues. We had some tragedies within the family, and was searching, was really looking for answers from the Lord. And my brother happened to be going to church in Miami, Oklahoma, an Assembly of God church, and he was on the board there. And they had just had a pastor that had stepped away, and they was in between pastors, and so they'd invited you to come and speak. And so he just, one afternoon, we was
and working. What year was that?
That was been in what, 2000, no, it'd be 99.
Yeah, 99, I think.
Yeah, it was in 1999. And he said, you've got to come down here, this little Jewish guy. He said, I think you'll be amazed at what's happening. He said, the hand of the Lord, it says, is moving strong. I said, we're seeing miracles, and just people are being touched. It's just really an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so so we did. So we came down on a Tuesday night. They was having meetings, a series of meetings there. And so.
And how many people were in the service that Tuesday night, would you guess?
I would say there was probably close to 350 or 400.
Yeah, I knew.
It was full.
Yeah, it was pretty full.
Yeah, and we were like good visitors, from another church. We sat clear in the back and was just watching. And, the service went long. The Holy Spirit.
Imagine
was,
that. I don't normally have long services.
No.
It's not known for that.
Yeah. We was just sitting back and marveling at what the hand of the Lord was doing, how he was touching people, and people, he was seeing miracles, people being healed, people being set free from oppressions. And, you'd think in the church world, a lot of people think, your problems are fixed once you start going to church, and that's not the case. People are just people.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
They have needs, and the Lord's there to meet needs if we'll allow him to do so. And that was one of the great things about that series of meetings, was the fact that people were hungry after the things of the Lord, and the Lord was there to meet their needs. And it wasn't because there was a pastor there, because they was in between. And just the Lord showed up. He's the main resource here that we need to look to. So
share with them about at the end of the service that actually what happened is the Lord gave me a word of the Lord for your family.
Yeah.
And share how, I knew you guys, I didn't know, but you're in the back, kind of the non-member of the church trying to hide out, so to say.
Yeah.
And then tell us what happened there. I think that's a great. It's interesting how you can't hide from the Lord.
you know, we was there looking for something to answer some questions. And, you know, the Lord always sees you.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, like I say, we sit in the back and it was just marveling at what the Lord was doing. And it became a little bit of a break in what the Lord was doing up front. And you just pointed your finger back at us and said, "You come down. I got a word of the Lord for you." And so we did. We came down. And you said, "Well, I see, you know," I said, "you know, is it okay if I give you the word?" And I said, "Well, sure." And he said, "Well," he said, "I see your house on fire." And he said, "You've got a garden hose, and the Lord wants to give you a fire hose." And never having met you before, with what the family was going through at the time with sort of tragedy and the basically just the upheaval, it was right on for what. And also as a family farm, we was going through a drought at the time, and there was the financial stress of that was weighing pretty hard on things as well. And so when it says, you know, you need a fire hose, it was just very much caught my attention. And then, like I say, you can say the Lord can read your mail. Well, the Lord read our mail. And then what the thing was is he didn't just read it. He gave us some answers for it. And when you prayed for us, it touched us. And it opened up like a whole nother level of understanding as far as what the Lord wants for us. And also opening a door for a new season. And so you don't have to basically live in the past or live in the fear or under the weight, so to speak, of tragedy. You can move outside of that and move on and really find the peace of the Lord, which is really what the main focus is for.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast is we're in a season where the Lord is raising up pioneers. And many of you that are watching, you're probably still watching at this point because you're saying, "Man, this is really witnessing to me." And the reason it's witnessing to you is because you're being asked to pioneer. So when God births something and pioneer, it's like a child. You don't go in and give birth. A woman does not give birth to a child like in a stadium and everyone comes and say, "Hey, let's watch this." No, it's in a private room and it's something very private. And then when the child comes, you have to keep that child safe. You don't take an infant and then go out and say, "Hey, let's put it in a college professor's studio or in a large classroom around people because of the germs and it's not ready to receive." So what happens is when that baby is born, it's nurtured, it's in a small place, and it's kept safe so that it can have time to develop. And so what was happening with us, we didn't know it 25 years ago, but the Lord was actually birthing the one new man. He was, and we didn't know it. That wasn't the thing. So what happened, we were in an Assembly of God church, and the assembly, which I understand, they said to me, they said, "If you want to continue on with this revival," which we were running packed out almost every night. But they came to me and they asked, they said, "If you're going to continue to minister in our organization, you have to be ordained by us." And listen, I don't have any trouble with that personally. But when I prayed to the Lord said, "They're being grafted into you. You're not being grafted into them." So I had to come back and tell them no, which that didn't go over real big because, listen, I'm just this little, you know, evangelist at the time, prophet, and, and they're this huge organization. So they said, "You know, you can't come back anymore." So that was the end of that. So then you made an invitation and you said, "Would you like to come to our house?" So I think it's interesting that the prophetic word was your house is on fire and you need a fire hose. And basically the fire hose came to your house. And inside your house is where House of David was birthed as one new man. But we didn't have prophetic words or anything. We were following the passion of wanting to know the Lord. I mean, Christy can tell you that It wasn't like, okay, we have this great vision and this plan. All we knew is we felt from the Lord we were supposed to go to your home. And it was really a special time. So share with me, share with us that. So now we come to the house and share kind of how that birthed out and a little bit of the short history of how that happened. Because the international ministry they see today of House of David Kurt Landry Ministries all started in a farmhouse. Yeah. And a nice farmhouse, but still, I mean, out really in the middle of nowhere. And the reason I'm saying that to people is that what God's birthing in you, you don't process it like, you know, if it's really going to be God, I've got to take it into like some larger platform. And you don't need that structure, okay? If God's asking you to have that structure, that's great. But a lot of times what's being pioneered between now and the return of the Lord, a lot of it is out in the highways and the hedges. So that's how I look at what happened. So share what happened with your family is in regards to and your church family. So now you're bringing the Jewish message into the house. So how did that go?
For us it went. We was excited by what the Lord was showing us, how the Lord was moving. Like say when we invited you in, it was more for just selfish reasons in a way. Because we had I had a lot of questions of different things about some illness and why we were certain, you know, within the church realm, being raised by parents who were men and women of faith, and yet we kind of ran into a roadblock. And so I was after answers for what was the stumbling block or where was the resistance really coming from. And so I had lots of questions for you, and that was one of the things I think that it motivated me at first. But whenever we was having those long conversations into the middle of the night, a lot of the times when you'd come and stay, it was just like, you know, the Lord was showing up so powerfully that we decided, now this is too good to not have some people. So we began to invite some of our friends and some of the people that went to church with us, and so they began to come. And so whenever you would be in the house, at times we would have meetings, and it grew to where there was just, you know, from 7 or 8, and then before you know it, we had 40 and 45 people in the house. And the Lord was just showing up marvelously. And we was just excited about what the Lord was doing and really was able to get some clarity on some of the questions that I had as far as what was some of the hindrances and the stumbling blocks that sometimes you carry, you know, as a family, some of those curses, so to speak, that follow family lines, those were being cut off from us. And so, you know, I was ecstatic. I was really excited. And I was teaching a Sunday school class in the church that I attended, and a lot of things, and I'd already been introduced. I'd been teaching the Jewish roots of the faith for a while, and but it just kind of amplified once we got connected, and it really became clearer to me the need that we have within the church, Christianity, to understand where we came from and the foundational and the roots of why we believe what we believe and how that works and how that plan is being, you know, played out in real time in our lives. And so we was able to do that. And so when I went back and began teaching more and more, then, I began to get some pushback from different ones and said, well, why are you bringing this Jewish stuff into, they didn't grasp what we was going after. It's not Jewish stuff. It's the Lord stuff. It's the Spirit of God stuff. It's the kingdom of God. That's what we're after.
Yeah, it's the Lord's feast.
Yes, and so the more we went on with it, like say there was people just, you know, we began to get excited about the ones that were coming to the meetings. And so, you know, we was having people show up that I didn't have a clue because they were being invited by other people. And, you know, and I had, we'd have, you know, 15 or 20 people that I had no clue. They just showed up and said, we heard you was having a meeting here in the house.
I know. And your house is really, it really is a farmhouse for real. Babe, share with one of your memories of when, listen, we had no plans. We have like you guys got us a boom box. Remember that? Like, it's a boombox with a microphone, and we would put on worship on a CD, and then the boombox, and we would record the messages, and we would praise and worship, blow shofars. But share one of the memories of that, those early days, because one of the things I want to convey to you that's watching the podcast is, I think a lot of times people think, now that we're established, that somehow when we got started, that we actually knew what was coming. We did not know what was coming. All we were doing is we were driving from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, up to Commerce, which is quite a drive, out in the middle of nowhere, obeying the Lord, because the scripture says, if I can trust you with little, I can trust you with much. And that's, I think sometimes people, I will use the word Hellenize or man's measurement to, well, how many people show up or like what's going on with it, all that stuff. Listen, I praise God that when we started in the house, there was no social media. There was no FaceTime. Listen, we were just finding our way in a very safe, in your house, private place. Like, listen, we're birthing something here, like the baby. How do we do this? So share a memory that you set for the people so they can understand that, you know, I'm trying to comfort, because you're going to be birthing some things, and you can't use men's measurements. You just have to obey every day and crawl, walk, run into your assignment.
So when we first started, there was just a few of us. And, you know, when the Lord first began to share with me, for about 6 months before we decided we really are supposed to start a church, because we always felt prophetically called, and we didn't ever consider, never considered being pastors ever. And it was a shock. And then when we got invited to your house, and then we felt such a presence with all of us being there, and then people started coming, and we didn't know the people because they were people that were your friends. But there was such a sweet memories of getting to know everybody and getting to love everybody. And so many of those people are still with us. And it's really an amazing thing, because in the small space with you know, a lot less people than we have now, it's just so sweet, because you become very good friends with everybody. And that was really sweet. And they were really, really hungry. They were hungry for God. They were hungry for Rabbi's teachings. They were hungry to learn about Israel and what we needed to do in the Word. And every night was different, you know. But every night the Lord showed up powerfully. And here we are with a boombox and a CD, and everybody's singing. But the presence of the Lord would come. Every time the Lord would come and show up. And, you know, when the Lord shows up, it makes you very hungry, and it makes you want to be there for a long time. And we would stay till very, very late. And then, you know, it took us about 2 hours, 2.5 hours to get home in the nighttime. And the roads were not, they were two-lane roads, hills and lots of curves, and just country out in the middle of nowhere kind of thing. You didn't, you know, so it was always late when we got home.
Yeah, like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, or we left later, at 2 in the morning. But anyway, it was a very sweet, precious time of what the Lord was using us to do, and all the people that we were meeting. And then, you know, with Pastor Tim and Sandy, and some of the others, but, you know, we were called to come together from the beginning of time. And so we have these beautiful brothers and sisters, family members of the Lord, and that are always there for us, always, always, always there for us. And it's meant so much throughout all the years to have them. And the people, our people love them. It's been a huge blessing. We've grown, obviously, so much. And it's been 20 years. I mean, who can even...
25.
25 years. Oh, my. But it's just, who can imagine that? 25 years I don't think we've ever been any place. I mean, usually we used to move every 3 years. Somehow or another, that's what happened. But the Lord got us to the right place. And that's why we've been here so long, you know. So anyway.
So, Sandy, what's your, it's your house. I mean, my gosh. I mean, you're having to clean up after all these people are in the house. And what, you know, the reason I'm sharing this again is that people are going to pioneer. The Lord's going to be moving in a lot of you in your houses.
Yes, that's the truth. It's necessary.
Yeah. And, you know, pressures are going to come in the future. I'm not talking like the next 4 or 5 years, but in the future, I think that most likely 10, 15 years from now, there's going to be more home church than like we know it now. And so I'm trying to tell people, you don't need to be afraid of this, because one of the things that this is real big. We are not mega church or large church pastors. We don't have the heart or the capacity or the skills. It's not us. We are much more results, relationship driven, and the importance of personal transformation into Christ. That's it. I mean, and you can't do that with, like, I can't, maybe others can't, with like 5,000 people. It's too easy in a 5,000 member church, and I preach in these, so I know. It's too easy for people to come in and hide, because there's not the accountability. When you're small, like House of David, even House of David size now, it's difficult to hide. And I think that's important. So I think when people start to have home churches and they start to raise up inside the house, you need to understand there is a place where you need to quit hiding and you need to come out into the light of the Holy Spirit, but also into that accountability of others. But what kind of pressure did that put on you as the mom, the housewife? It's your home. I mean, your rewards for starting this are going to be so big in heaven. But what were some of the challenges? I mean, there had to be, you know, every week, you know, coming, and then people wanted snacks and all the stuff they want. So share, like, your role in that. Like, what happened?
I just remember being so excited about it and so hungry for what the Lord was doing that, you know, I laid everything else down, and it was all about that. And so, you know, I don't mean it, you know, poor me, I was serving the people. I don't mean it that way. I was so excited for what the Lord was doing and so excited what he's doing in other people as they came. But since you asked the question, what was it like? I did the books for another company out That's of right. my home. Mm-hmm. And so, and the farm stuff. So, obviously, I had to get my work done as well as prepare the house for when the guests were coming, whenever we had the meetings. So I remember staying up very, very late the night before trying to get my responsibilities done and checks out and payroll out for the company because of the timing of it. And so there were some things you had to plan out. So, but I didn't think anything about it back then. I mean, obviously I was younger, so the energy level, I'm sure, has changed, but it was exciting to do it. But it does take some sacrifice. You do have to plan and you have to prepare.
Yeah, the reason I'm bringing this out is, and you can both, and Christy too, when you're birthing a spiritual birth, it is very inconvenient. It is very demanding. What about me, my time, my way? Listen, that's not part of it. It's you have to be totally sold out. And what I think what we've all had to do is you have to really be legacy and eternity minded. You're doing this so that people don't go to hell. Yes. You're doing this so people don't get divorced.
Yes.
You're doing this, you know, that, I mean, but the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I think a lot of times people think that gets kind of glamorous and you know, I know a lot of people watch us from the outside, you know, if we're going to some big event, You know, we have security. They're bringing us up in a limo. There's that. That's all they see. They say, oh man, look at the Landrys. Like they're just like, they're rolling out the red carpet. That's about 4 seconds of the 25 years you have. And it's not about that. It's about, I guess what I'm trying to say is the anointing and the glory. First of all, you're anointed. But then when the collective group, like what's coming in the house, the glory, when it comes when people collectively surrender their time, their will, and their resources.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that was that there was, you know, the book of Acts talks about, in the second chapter, it says the people were in one place in one accord with a single purpose. And that was really kind of what we felt, you know, at the time as people were coming. And sometimes people that we didn't know, but they still came with the same purpose. We want God.
Yes. Yeah.
We want what the Lord's saying. We want to hear what the Lord's saying.
Yeah.
And he was saying it.
He was
showing
it.
Up right. every night. Sometimes it was twice a week, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yes. And he was showing up every time. So all of the activity to get ready and for you with your home.
And the farm.
And then
working for the concrete place.
Yeah. It was a lot. I know it was a lot, but we were all so excited and so thankful, and we grew together just really beautifully. The relationships were very precious, and he showed up every time. Every time he would show up in power, and for us, and I know for Tim and Sandy as well, it was a foresight of what we were going to be called to do in a different arena, so to speak, but a preparation, because we knew that we were called to the nations. We knew it. And so this was the beginning steps for us. We didn't know we were called to the nations through a church. We thought it was just going to be a prophetic ministry, however that was going to pan out. But the Lord was very clear with us, and he said, you know, we were kind of arguing about the beginning of all these things, and he said, if you don't do this, you will miss the blessings that I have for you. You will miss my best for you. So you have to go through these years so that you learn. And we have learned so much, and we've all been together for all of these years and through so much together, and that's not going to stop. I know that we're going to be together for eternity. And so I'm very grateful for that. Yes.
So I'm going to switch gears for the podcast, because I want to talk about you spiritually, if we want to biblically say, be not ye unequally yoked with unbelief. So let me bring it into more modern terms, okay, and from a business view. Cultural fit. So CLM, like we're at about 45 employees, and House of David, I mean, I don't know how many we have, probably
15 to 20. Yeah.
Let's say 15. Okay. So, and then we've had people come and go inside House of David. And really what it boils down to is a cultural fit. You have to mentally, culturally fit. And if you don't, then, and I'm saying this to you because you're birthing something, and the people who come to yoke and join you in the birthing of what you're asked to do, I would really focus more on the cultural fit than their talents, their skills, and ability. And there really has to be a honor and a respect for the leadership. And I'll say this, and I mean this in the right spirit. Being north of Tulsa, hour and a half, there's some mega church organizations, some of the biggest religious organizations in the world, just south of us. And of course, many of them have come into House of David, but not all of them, but some have come, and it felt like this. It's like, okay, you poor little, you know, church in the middle of nowhere, house on the prairie, we know how to do it because we're big, but we are a big church system, and we came from, let's say, ORU or Victory or Rhema, and this is how you do it. And it's almost like they come to us, and I'm sharing this with you because this is so important. It's like, again, your child. That child has your DNA in it. And as you know with us, because you're part of our family, you're helping us raise our grandkids, I know more about these three babies than anybody else knows. We know this is our seed. I know what we struggle with. I know what her parents struggle with, my parents, Paul's parents, because I know them for, I don't think no one really can come in and really fine tune and say, this is what you're going to do with these three kids, because they were birthed out of us. They're our seed. That's what House of David is. That's what your ministry is. It's birthed through you. But, and listen, well-meaning people that love us, and listen, we're in good standings with all of them, but they have a tendency to come and look at the size and they think, you're pretty small. Let me help you. You should be bigger. And I will say this, you don't have to be bigger. Bigger isn't better. You have to be the size. Like, we're moving into the biblical year 5785, and the prophetic word the Lord's given me is the time of the king and priest. So what's happening is it's going to take a David, a King David, a king priest anointing, not a Saul. This can't be cookie-cutted out. This isn't a pioneering work, something that's never been seen before, a fourth river experience. You're going to have to really be diligent, not rebellious, but to follow what God's asking you to do so that the child, the spiritual ministry, comes and starts to manifest like what God wants out of heaven on earth. And you know, we have faced that challenge because, and listen, I know my dear friends in Tulsa, they do ministry far better than we do. And I get that in a lot of areas. But the way we have conducted the culture is to attract the called and the chosen. And when the scripture says many are called and few are chosen, that actually, and I've studied this out, the chosen part is lots of people have callings, but they haven't chose to adjust their culture and their lifestyle to embrace the call, their values, their principles, their habits and patterns. Because when you start pioneering a move of God in your house or in your life, then what happens is, it is like that child. You're no longer the married couple that can just run and say, hey, what the heck, we're going on a ski trip to Colorado or whatever. No, now all of a sudden, you know, you're up in the middle of the night changing diapers. It's the same thing in ministry. And what happens is now the focus has to be on raising the child more than raising you. And I think that's kind of what I want to share, is as I look back over the 25 years, we've had a lot of well-meaning people come in and try to say, do this and do that. But this is open discussion. I just kind of want to hear from all three of you. You know, I think we've been right, wrong, and indifferent, and we've done a lot of things right and a lot of things wrong. And you know, my business leadership is, I'll give you more grace trying than crying. And I don't look at failure as failure. I look at it as a tool. It's how we learn. But I think we have done a really good job of remaining true to the call, the culture, and believing and trusting in God. And we've had, they don't do it so much anymore because now the media side's so huge. But when we were really smaller, it was, we had a lot of well-meaning people trying to steer us. And so that's what I'm saying to you is on this podcast, is that you're going to birth something and then people are going to come in and try to help you. It's okay for them to give you advice, but as far as trying to steer a new work and then you're going to bring it back into how they do an old wineskin, don't do it. So let's talk about that. Pastor Tim, you go first.
You know, that's the deal. There's a lot of people, they want to help you, but they want you to fit into the box that they've designed for you. sometimes if the Lord has laid something on your heart and he's given you kind of an inspiration and a revelation and a call to move a certain direction, there may not be a pattern that is an established one. You really just kind of have to go on the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to take that step. And a lot of times that's kind of scary in one way, because, you know, you're moving into an area that maybe you haven't seen before. And so what happens is the requirement is that you have to really put your faith and trust in the Lord and really try to fine tune your hearing so that you'll be sure that you're listening to the Lord rather than falling into, you know, what somebody else's thoughts are or what this is how it's supposed to be. But maybe the Lord's trying to do something new in you and through you. Mm-hmm. And so it just, you know, it takes that confidence that you were really hearing from the Lord, and then a willingness to step out. You know, being raised in the church, in a traditional church, I had a lot of people that I'd went to pastors that, you know, were deep friends of mine and I grew up with, and they couldn't hardly believe that I was going the direction I was going. In fact, a lot of them thought that I'd went off the deep end because, you know, why are you doing this Jewish stuff? And it's like, this isn't Jewish stuff. You know, look in the book. You know, read the book of Romans. You know, in Corinthians and Ephesians. I mean, all Paul, all the way through in his teachings and his instruction, was trying to incorporate too. We need one another. The church needs what the Lord placed within the parameters and the security of the nation of Israel and its culture. And then when we moved away from it, then we lost a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And just the same way, you know, the Jewish component needs what the church has. There has to be a coming together of those things to make a true picture of what God's relationship and what he wants to do with mankind, whether it's the Jewish people or Gentiles, makes no difference. God loves us all, but he wants us to come close to him and follow the instructions as far as what he has laid out for us. That's where life is. That's where your peace and your security is coming under the wings of the Lord. That really is huge, and especially now in these days.
Yeah. You know, I recently had just a huge visitation of the Lord. I was down in Florida at the beach, and I was reading this book, New York Times bestselling, Atomic Habits. And the author was saying there's two ways to basically manage habits. One is basically results, or you know, you have goals for accomplishments and results. And that's where I came from. My first 36 years of my life, you know, raised by my mother, you know, an ex-Olympian, believe me, it was all about achievement and results. Then I got radically saved in a bathtub. And what happened is then he said, you can do it both ways. But he says he recommends, very lightly in the book, he recommends identity habits, to where you focus on changing your identity, and that creates the habits and patterns. Well, that's what happened to me in the bathtub. So now what happened, here we are 35 years later. So with all this, is I didn't realize my heart was circumcised and I was reconnected to my own Jewish roots, literally and physically, because I was reconnected to my father and I found out, you know, Jewish mother, the whole story. And you can read about that in my book. You can order Reclaiming Our Forgotten Heritage. But my point is, it was identity driven. So I agree with, I can't pull up his name right now on Atomic Habits, but anyway, it's an excellent book. I highly recommend it. But the reason I had such a visitation is the Lord said, see, the reason I'm restoring the Jewish roots of the faith and the Hebraic understanding is so that you can have habits and patterns and cultures, Shabbats and feasts and all these things, so that you can actually become part of the cultural fit of the family of God. You're not becoming Jewish, but you're changing your habits and patterns so that your soul will line up with your mind will line up with your inner man will line up with the Holy Spirit, and then it lines up when you read the Word, because the Word's all based in that identity. And so I know I just said a lot right there, but that's really... that's who House of David is. That's who Kurt Landry Ministry. Now, we didn't know it. I can look back now and say, oh my, and literally this was just a couple months ago. I'm there under the umbrella, just like I had some people around me, and I know they're looking at me going, man, that poor guy must have lost one of his family members, because I'm sitting out there with the book crying and stuff. And it looked like a wreck. But it was like, Lord, it is about this identity. And it was like such a download. And I really felt like the Lord said, God, I hear from the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I feel like I'm hearing from Jesus, but this was the God, the Father himself. He said, I sent my son to restore all men and women's identity. That's why it says these are the feast of the Lord, an everlasting covenant. I want to close with this in the podcast. I'm going to ask Christy, and I want to say this to you. You need to watch for each other, particularly you that husbands and wives. You need to pray for each other, but you also need to listen to each other, and you need to watch, because what you see, what you think you see, may not be what it is. So I'm just going to share this. In my early days, I got radically saved, and I came out of the bathtub. And you have to realize I'm operating in, as a gift from the Lord, I am operating in high levels of faith and healing and miracles. Prophetic words like, reading people's mail. You need $256.87 for your insurance, words of knowledge. And that's exactly what they, stuff like that. So as a young believer, Christy got saved 3 years before. And so here I am, brand new saved. I have no word in me. And you have to understand, I'm quite a target for religious proselytization. It's like, oh my gosh, this guy has this call. How can we use it to build our ministry or our whatever? And of course, listen, none of these thoughts are in my mind. That's why I'm sharing it with you. Because when you birth something, you're going to have to protect it, because people are going to want to draft off it, and they're going to want to monetize it and all the other stuff. So anyway, I'm going to have her share this. This is a powerful lesson. So it's in the early days, and we're in business, and some of my business partners say, man, listen, you're so anointed, you need to go to Bible school. So here's the thing is you need to go to seminary, and you need to go to the best one. But my businessmen that I'm with, I mean, everyone's millionaires, okay? So it's like it's unlimited resources. So the money's not the thing. So it's like, can you imagine you get saved and then you want to be in ministry, and someone comes up and says, hey, guess what? I'm going to pay you this huge salary. You don't have to, you can stay in the big house, the cars and everything. And we're going to send you to school, and we'll pay for all that. And we're just going to pay for everything. You're like the professional student, that was basically the offer. So I'm sitting over here going, you know what? I know I have these gifts. I don't know the Bible. I'm brand new to the thing. I don't know that seminary and Bible school comes with issues that would have probably quenched and killed my gifting, but she saw it. And so now, and this is where I'm going to have her share. So there's all these men, that's our current pastor, my business partners, other apostolics, everyone saying, listen, Kurt's got this special gift. They're willing to pay. You go and go to this, except the intercessor and the wife. I mean, she's flipping out going, I can't believe it. This is like the religious spirit coming to kill my husband's calling. And it got difficult, because I couldn't figure out, like, listen, who gets this gift? I mean, this is a huge gift. So share how do you battle through to protect the spiritual pioneering gift God gives you from being hijacked from really the Queen of Heaven, Jezebel, and religious spirits?
Curtis.
That's a good question.
Yes. Well, before the pastors came to the house, the Lord had been speaking to me a couple months before about seminary. And what he was telling me is that so many times young men and young women will go to seminary and they're so on fire for the Lord and they love the Lord and they just want to serve the Lord and they want to bless the Lord, so they want to get into the ministry, so they go to seminary. And he said, but then many times in many places, the enemy moves into that. And sometimes he's the one teaching and not, and it would be religious. It would be a religious spirit versus a spirit that was totally yielded to me. And so, you know, I wasn't raised in church and all those things were very different for me to hear, but I knew it was the Lord. So, and he was preparing me for this visitation from the pastors to ask Kurt to go to seminary.
The heavyweights come to the house.
Yeah.
And they're determined, we're closing this deal.
Yes. And we'll pay for all of it. We'll pay for everything, your house expenses here, there, what all the things that had to be taken care of, they were going to take care of. And I'm just, you know, inside I was hearing, no, this isn't me. No, this isn't me. And so it made me upset and nervous because it was our pastor and another gentleman that we were very, very, very close to. And then as soon as they left, I shared with Rabbi, you're going to really have to hear clearly from the Lord, because I'm feeling like, and I feel like I've been hearing for several months now that this kind of thing was maybe going to happen and that this is not where God is calling you to. And, of course, he was so excited because he was getting this major opportunity presented to him, and it didn't go well. And we got into an issue over it. And you know, I'm not sure why that happened or how that happened, but we did. And I got in the car, and I just started praying in the Spirit. And I mean, I was driving that car so fast, and I was praying in the Spirit so loud, and I was going around curves on two-lane roads and crying and just besieging the Lord, because I knew that this was not God and it was not for him. And yet he was seemingly determined to do this. And when I got back home, the Lord had to have kept me, because I was going like 9,000. I was so mad and so upset, and not at people, just at the whole enemy thing and what he was trying to do, because I knew in my heart of hearts that this was not where we were supposed to be going. And I'm sure I probably didn't handle it properly, or he wouldn't have got so upset with everything too. So anyway, when I got back, I shared with him, you know, what I really believed, and that I was pretty insistent that he should not do this, that he really need to pray for a while and really hear clearly from the Lord. And of course, my thought was he's going to really hear clearly, but that's kind of where we had to leave it. And it was really difficult and really challenging. And it was unfortunate, because it was our pastor that was going to help us, and our
some spiritual leaders, and then the man I worked for,
and then our
partners.
Yeah, it was very challenging
because everybody wanted to do it. She stood up against them. So now I'll just say this: here's the thing. If I would have gone, let's say we'd have caved in and did that, then I would have been ordained with them. And then all the speaking engagements and everything I would have been brought into would have been into that venue. I can tell you for sure, if I was hooked with that church and that school, there would have been no Netanyahu. There would be no $27 million of humanitarian aid in Israel, prophesying into all the leaders in Israel, from Shimon Peres to you name it. None of that would have happened. I would have been the big shot in this denomination, but I would have not been sent to the nations. And see, she was picking up on it. And me, I'm young in the Lord. I'm just looking at it from a business standpoint, going, like, everybody else is suffering, having to work through Bible school. And, you know, I'm like, you can do whatever you want. And I know these guys, and I mean literally do whatever you want. You want to fly a jet to this place? Do it. You know, they don't care. So to me, it all looked like, hey, this was like, you know, okay. But the reason I say this to you, and I'm so glad she shared it, is because it caused so much division in our marriage. It caused in my business, the church. We had to leave the church because I said no. But what happened is, it was the Lord, the steps of a good, righteous man and woman, order of God. we would have never met you guys. There would never be House of David. There would have never, all the stuff that you see now, that time right then was the test. And we're about 2 years saved and carrying the, carrying what we carry for Israel. And what we carry, as you know, would not have fit in any denomination. And it needed to be birthed in its own pioneering river. So anyway, I want to thank you so much for joining us for this podcast. I hope this has really helped you. I can tell you this. Some of you are crying right now. And you're saying, thank the Lord, because this podcast has saved you from losing the precious new spiritual pioneering ladder rain. Because everything we just shared is like, this is real life. This is how it goes. And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. I always liked the way my friend from years and years ago, Shel Sherberg, I'll close with this wisdom. He said, I'll do it in his Swedish accent. He said, you need to know, Satan. Yes. You need to be wise, of the devil. But I have a good news for you. You see, when Jesus, when he die, he go to hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when he went to hell, he stepped on the snake's head. Yeah, that serpent. Uh-huh, yes. And he stepped on his head and he give him brain damage. Yes, he has a great brain damage. And the good news for you is he has no new idea. So if you learn all his old idea, then you'll be wise and you'll not let him trick you. Now that I can tell you, I was in Jerusalem, Holy Land West Hotel, and Shel Sherberg spoke that message, and that's about as verbatim. And I can tell you, this young believer, it was in 93, I was just like, and I immediately said, I'm going to become a student of Satan. I'm going to learn every trick he's got, and this way I'll know he won't be able to trip me up. So on this podcast, that's what you got. You're birthing something, so I'm going to pray over you right now. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I lift up every spiritual seed that's coming out of the courts of heaven right now, birthing into the precious vessels, out of that fourth dimension, into your heart, into your spirit, into the fertile soil. You were called and chosen. You were called a prophet before you were in your mother's womb. And God has a call and a purpose for you. And he doesn't want it to be aborted. He doesn't want it to be stolen. He doesn't want it to be maligned or manipulated in any way. Because your call and your purpose belongs to God. And I'm not speaking to you to be totally sanctified and separated from everybody, but you need to be yoked with the right cultural fit for your call. Yes. People who love the kingdom, love you, and love to see you succeed and want to see that reward, knowing that the blood of Jesus has paid a price for everything that we all do in the kingdom. It's not what you do or I do or any of us do collectively. It's what he's done. And we are called to harvest all of every drop of blood that he's done on earth and all the nations of the earth. So I pray a blessing over you. I pray an anointing over you. I pray an anointing over your spouse as I did with my spouse, that literally all the men and all the leadership turned on her and couldn't understand why. But we know now, all these years later, that it was she was the watchman who prayed, and she was the watchman who protected everything you see in House of David, One New Man Embassy, and Kurt Landry Ministries, My Olive Tree. All that we do, none of that would have existed at that one moment when the enemy tried to come in and literally kidnap the call. So I pray for the right people around you, and I hope this podcast has helped you in Yeshua's name. God bless you.